yeah.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday. That means 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah, man.
Get your requests in now. 2 for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about the best live bands and best live musicians, since we're going to be talking music here with Jim in a second. I thought we would carry that over a little bit later on and talk about some of the best concerts you've ever seen or some of the best live acts. And we've got a couple of lists here of what are considered to be some of the best live acts in music. And speaking of music, our good friend Jim Ryan joins us. You can read him on his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And Jim writes about music and sees shows and does interviews and all kinds of cool stuff, and then joins us every once in a while to talk about it. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good, good. So you've been pretty busy.
As always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of music stuff to talk about. Have you always been a big music fan?
Yeah, from as far back as I can remember. Conned my parents into taking me to see Michael Jackson at Comiskey Park. That was my first concert a week before my fifth birthday.
The week before your fifth birthday, you saw Michael Jackson at Comiskey. Was it the Jacksons?
It was the Jacksons on the Victory Tour.
It was the Victory Tour, yeah. Because I remember when they played Comiskey.
Yep.
That was 84.
That's correct.
Wouldn't that be the summer of 84?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fall of,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, all right.
A late show for Comiskey Park.
Yeah. What was it like? It was October. Before your birthday, so yeah. It was in October?
Was it cold?
October
84. I don't remember it being overly cold, but there... Yeah. You know, for almost being five, I do remember quite a bit of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a big spectacle, crazy show.
Well, because Michael didn't tour for Thriller, which is what everybody forgets. So the Victory Tour was essentially the Thriller Tour. It was
right.
Michael throwing his brothers one last bone on the
right.
way out the door.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming that he spent most of the time out on stage.
They did a Jackson 5 medley, and I know the encore was Beat It and Billie Jean, which it's kind of hard to beat that, I think,
right.
ever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Well, there you go. So ever since then, you've been into music.
That was it.
Yeah, very cool. I was looking at some of your tweets,
uh-huh.
and you tweeted that New Miserable Experience.
The Gym Blossoms. I love them.
Is one of your favorite albums ever.
Love that album.
I do too. I okay. really do. But the story behind that.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
They're celebrating the 25th anniversary of that now. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Now, did you go to see them?
I did. Yeah. They were in St. Charles at the Arcata Theater.
Yeah.
They did the album in full, and they referenced Robin Wilson, the lead singer, referenced Doug Hopkins quite
yeah.
a bit.
Well, you have to. I mean, you know, like he wrote the songs and then...
Wrote the songs, and I think... correct me if I have this timeline. I think it's correct. Wrote the songs... was kicked out of the band before the album was even released,
yeah.
and passed away maybe 6 or 8 months before Hey Jealousy hit on the singles chart.
He died. The album was out.
Okay.
And you can't imagine, like, you get kicked out of this band. I mean, he had a lot of problems.
Right.
He was
yeah.
a raging alcoholic.
Right.
And had some major issues. But like he wrote all those songs,
yeah.
and it makes the I think the album's great anyway. But it makes all the lyrics and everything on that album amplified by a
uh-huh.
million. You know, like what that record means when you listen to it. Because there's a lot of songs about being drunk and apologizing.
Pretty much.
There's a lot of songs. And but can you imagine like being in your car, you get in, you turn the radio on, you've been booted out of this band, mm-hmm. and then Hey Jealousy comes on the radio?
Comes on. That's insane. And then, I mean, what the Gin Blossoms titled the follow-up record as a reference to that. They titled their second record, Congratulations, I'm Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. Congratulations, you hit it big.
Yeah.
Everything else sucks.
Yeah. So how was the show?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what, it's the original lineup with the exception of Doug Hopkins.
Yeah.
So it's
everybody's
like,
back.
Yeah, it's not like they're phoning it in or anything. And I think since they've been back together, it's been that original lineup. So it's never like they went out kind of, you know, piecemealing it together. They've kind of never stopped. They've had a lot of issues with labels and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
it's been, for as much success as they had so fast,
mm-hmm.
the rest of it's been.
That's one of those.
Of a hike.
That album is one of the quintessential 90s albums.
I think so too.
And really great stuff.
And, you know, as much as I love that album, I think I would also say it kind of opened the door to a lot of what wound up watering down that 90s alternative shortly thereafter.
Right. Yeah, the timing of it was pretty. I mean, it did open the door for a lot of
the way it crossed over too to the pop world.
Yeah, yeah. Still a great record.
It is
though.
Terrific though. Yeah,
it is a great record. So you saw who opened? Did anybody open for him?
No opener on that one. Oh, I'm sorry. Take the Reins, a local. Local from the suburbs. Take the Reins. They opened up, mm-hmm. and they were very good.
And
a sold out crowd, by the way, too.
Sold out crowd at the Arcata.
Packing them in St. Charles now.
Now, are the Gin Blossoms, are they still recording? Are they doing new material? Did they play?
Yeah, they did a new song in the encore. It was actually really good. And again, Robin Wilson seemed a little annoyed as he promoed the new material. I think his exact words were, "We have a new effing album out, thank God." So new Gin Blossoms.
Little frustration.
That's
coming
what
out there.
I sensed, yeah.
Wow, okay. All right, well, cool. I'm glad that turned out good. And you also went to go see, you went to see OMD this past Friday. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Are you jealous, Nick?
I am. I saw them back in the 80s on the same bill. Oh, man, who was it? It was at Poplar Creek.
Okay.
Man, I'm trying to remember. It was quintessential 80s. Okay. Like, there were three acts, and they were all, like, of that ilk.
Was this post Pretty in Pink?
It was pre-Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. And I want to say, was it the Furs? I think the Furs.
So that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid bill.
That is great. And there were three acts. I just can't remember specifically. But we got they opened. They were the first act, and we missed, like, half of it.
Okay.
They were fine.
I had never seen them, and I got to say, they were really good. And the crowd was super crazy into it. Maybe more so than any crowd I've seen at a show.
And this
all
was at
year.
The Vic.
At the Vic.
And people were going nuts at the Vic for OMD.
They were insane. Like, they had to actually build in extended pauses. They got multiple standing ovations, like, during the show, not just the encore. It was crazy. I was like, is this a symptom of St. Patrick's Day weekend starting early? Because this was Friday night.
Oh, right.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah, but that's interesting.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Now, did they go completely nuts when they played If You Leave?
Yes, they did.
Did they do like a 20-minute version of it?
They didn't do a 20-minute version of it, but they did cede the spotlight to the keyboard player who moved over about 2 feet to pick up the saxophone.
Oh, because you have to have that. Yeah,
you do. Yeah. And that was the only time, I think, on the entire show that he picked up the saxophone. Yeah.
And the place went nuts. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, the band that opened for them...
Mm-hmm.
is called Gold, but it's spelled G-G-O-O-L-L-D-D. So it's Gold, but they doubled each letter.
And stylized in all caps. Let's not miss that. That was not just a faulty caps lock key. That's actually...
Who are these guys?
From Milwaukee, a four-piece electropop outfit.
From Milwaukee?
From Milwaukee.
And
good land.
How were they?
They were all right. It was fun. They did a half hour. They did five songs. They worked in a reference to "I Would Die for You" by Prince. So they're winning me over right there.
Uh-huh.
But they were good. It was fun. You know, it's what was interesting to me was because they had to be all in their 20s.
Oh, so they're kids.
So especially compared to OMD, and especially compared to that audience,
they got to be in their late 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
OMD.
I think any. The lead singer, I think I looked up, was 58.
Oh, yeah. That's about right. That's about right. Because back in, you know, when I saw him, I was probably 19 or 18. So they would have been older than that then, yeah.
But they fit in real well. And it was kind of shocked me about OMD, too, because unlike a lot of these 80s bands that come back, they've released new material ever since they got back together in 06. So they've actually put out three albums. They had one
really?
In 2010, one in 2013, one last September.
And, really?
Yeah, going into the show, like, I will admit, I don't know a lot of OMD outside, you know, the two or three hits.
Yeah, that's the only stuff I know is like the two or three hits.
And the new stuff fit in pretty well.
Yeah. Did it sound like
it? So that lead singer, Andy McCluskey, I think is his name, still has that powerful baritone voice. I mean, he sounded outstanding.
Wow.
It was really good. I was impressed, actually. It was a fun night.
Okay, that's cool. All right. What do you got coming up? What are you seeing? What are you looking forward to? We're going to talk about Ravinia, by the way.
Ravinia, and there's some, as always, some interesting bookings.
Some very odd pairings and some weird, the lineup. But we'll get to that. But what are you looking forward to concert-wise? Are you going to anything in the next couple of weeks?
No, I don't have anything coming up, I don't think. January, February, March. It always kind of picks back up after St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, Well, you start to get warmer weather, spring, yeah, and then, finally. Then the outdoor concerts start.
Just we just had all the Irish bands in town, you know, last week.
Yeah.
So I think I'm still recovering from that.
You know what we discovered? I don't know, Dan, we discovered this was, do you know that the Irish Rovers are from Canada?
I did not know that. Are they really?
We did. We discovered that. We have a listener named Canadian Bill. He calls himself Canadian Bill.
Okay.
And when we do, you know, we do Two for Tuesday and stuff like that.
Sure.
So the audience every morning gets to pick the bumps. And so Canadian Bill, every time he texts in his request, they're always Canadian artists.
Okay.
So was it Thursday, Triple Play Thursday, right, Dan? Was it Triple Play Thursday?
Yeah, or maybe a Two for Tuesday.
Or Two for Tuesday?
Yeah.
He picked the Irish Rovers.
Okay.
And I'm like, boy, this is really inconsistent for Bill. He broke a tradition. And he usually chooses
right.
Canadian artists. The Irish Rovers. I've seen the Irish Rovers live, you know. I've seen them live.
So have I.
Then Dan looks it up online. They're from Canada. Now, they're Irish. They were born in Ireland.
The Irish Rovers, Brian Adams.
But they write Brian Adams, yeah. But they write...
Saga.
Don't forget about Saga. But yeah, my head was blown by it. I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, wait a minute. The Irish Rovers are Canadian? What?
That is kind of amazing,
it
actually.
It is. It's crazy, because I was like, yeah, I was being a smartass. You know, the Canadian Bill not picking a Canadian artist, and then, you know, to our chagrin, we look it up, and there it is. They're Canadian.
Wow. Had no idea.
No, seriously. It's the weirdest thing ever. Irish Rovers? Canadian. Yeah.
All right.
Brian Adams, how about that pretty woman? Oh, boy.
God.
What?
He's really milking it, too. He's been all over the place. He was here, I know.
I know. He was in studio here.
He was on TV, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that at all. There was a time when I loved Brian Adams.
Me too,
man.
Me too.
The Reckless and Into the Fire are both great records. And
I've got a. When's the last time you saw Brian Adams?
The last time I saw. Oh, you mean in concert?
In concert.
Oh
yeah.
God, years ago.
I saw him in probably 05, maybe 06, 07, somewhere in there, where he had kind of fallen off the face of the earth and not come back yet, and these 80s artists hadn't been rescued from obscurity yet. He was playing at the Vic.
Yeah.
So Brian Adams at the Vic does the whole set.
And this is Brian Adams, not Ryan Adams.
No, this is Brian.
Brian, right.
Yeah, Summer of 69. Brian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Comes out to close the show, right? So you know Summer of 69 is coming. He comes out and does it acoustic. And everyone's just looking at each other like, it's one of the most rocking songs in his entire catalog.
Right.
You knew it was coming because it was the only one
and
left.
And he did the acoustic.
And he sits down by himself and does it acoustic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you heard my Brian Adams concert story?
I don't think so.
I'll tell you when we come back. We got to take a break here. The audience has heard it many times, but it's a good one. And by the way, the person responsible for the destruction will be on the show tomorrow. So, anyway, I'll explain the story when we get back. Jim Ryan is with us. You can read him at the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night, Radio Jim Ryan. Follow him on Twitter. And we got a lot more music to talk about. And maybe I should keep my mic on and until I'm done talking. Do you know I have a plaque out here for the Walk of Fame? I don't know if you know that or not. You can tell by my professionalism. All right, we've got to take a break. We got the news coming up here on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. Now, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. Tuesday morning, Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. You're murdered. And that's the one artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're going to play an aggravating SNL trivia game where I get aggravated because I know everything about SNL. And I quiz Esmeralda and Dan, and they don't. So I just get frustrated with them because they don't answer any of the questions correctly, and I just get mad. So we'll do that a little bit later on, and we're also going to talk about the best live acts of all time, music-wise. Jim Ryan is with us now, and we are talking music. You can read him on his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. So before the break, you were talking about how Brian Adams,
yes,
in like the 06, 07, 08 time, came out for his encore.
Right, at the Vic.
At the Vic. View. Yeah, and played an acoustic version of Summer of 69.
Much to my chagrin, yeah.
Now, was that the end of the show?
That was it. Thank you, good night.
Wow.
And everybody's not happy.
Yeah, well, I saw Brian Adams. Okay, here's a quick story. The listeners have heard this story before because it's kind of insane. This was when Into the Fire came out.
So it
was like 87.
Okay.
And my friends and I go, it's Rosemont Horizon at that time, not before it's the Allstate Arena. We got really good seats, and we were on the floor. And you know, at the big venues, they put the metal folding chairs
sure.
together. You know, and that's and so we had really good seats. And so you know, the audiences sometimes tend to stand on their seats.
I've seen this. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, well, they did then, and they would stand on their seats and watch the show standing up and jumping up and down and having a great time. Well, the opening act was the Hooters. Do you remember the Hooters?
And she danced.
And she danced. All you yes. zombies. Yeah.
Wow.
And she danced. Okay. So
are they Canadian?
No, they're not. Okay. I don't think they're. I don't know.
Just
Let's call a Canadian Bill, Dan. See if we got. But anyway, so my friend Scott Oaken is not a thin man.
Okay.
He's a pretty big guy, and we were all standing on our chairs, and suddenly as we're watching the show. A chair, Oaken, my friend Scott Oaken is his name. Oaken goes through one chair, like demolishes it because he's rocking so hard.
Okay. And Brian Adams.
No, this was during the Hooters.
Oh.
He busted one chair during the Hooters, went through it, demolished it. We had to move down and squeeze down.
I was going
to
say, what's the protocol on that?
Well, we were squeezing okay. down, and I was like, you know.
So you don't call for another one.
No. So then he busts one chair during the Hooters. Brian Adams comes out. He busts a second chair.
Where are the chairs going?
They're just the bottom of the chair. No, he didn't. I mean, okay. The chair didn't, like the chair itself, the seat
yeah, bent
was smashed okay. down. You know, so the chair didn't. The shell of the chair
was still
there.
Standing. Okay.
So he busts another one during Kids Want to Rock. He busts through a chair then, and so we all move down again. Now I'm on the end, and I'm crowding the people who I don't know next to me because we're all balancing.
Which is the
we're
worst,
trying
by the way.
To. I know. I'm trying to balance on you know. In between chairs.
Right.
So the aforementioned Summer of 69 starts. Chair number three gets demolished.
Who's giving him more chairs?
No. We were moving down.
Okay.
Yeah, we were moving down to empty chairs. You know, we were trying to like... They weren't bringing out more chairs.
Right.
He just busted one and we would all squeeze together.
I have visions of you guys like taking somebody else's chair, just but they're all are they all
they're
banded
all banded together.
Together.
Yeah, so but fun. Anyway, he went through three chairs. He busted three chairs during a Hooters Brian Adams concert.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And to this day it's legendary. It's a legend, I mean, amongst our friends.
Three, that's quite a body count.
He busted he's a big dude. And he was rocking hard. And
well,
he loves Brian Adams. He loves Brian Adams. And he just, he was the passion with which Mr. Scott Oaken was rocking that night was pretty incredible enough to bust up three chairs. And it's legendary. If we would have had a phone, pictures would have been taken. You know what I mean? At
Man,
that time, you know,
oh
like,
God.
look at how hard Oaken rocked. And what's funny is no security came up or anything. People weren't really bitching. We were kind of crowding everybody by that point. So
you know, the Canadian crowd,
Canadians are like, oh, we understand,
very easygoing.
We understand, eh?
So, another chair there, eh?
Yeah. So anyway, that's my Brian Adams concert story. And Scott Oaken, by the way, who is with the Factory Theater currently, will be on my show tomorrow to promote their new show.
All right.
So, okay, we have to talk about the interview that you did with Daryl Jones.
Yes.
Now, you know we have to talk about this.
Is this what you commented on my Facebook post by chance?
Yes.
Okay.
So Daryl Jones. Well, first of all, did you see him at the Park West?
I did not, and I'm really bummed. It was supposed to be fantastic. A 7-piece band. It's him and Nicholas Tremulous.
Oh, Nick Tremulous is in the band.
That's his music director, and then five guys behind them.
Wow.
Yeah, all with local ties, and all with as Daryl put it to me, a blues forward approach.
Wow, that's amazing. Why did you miss that show?
I was working.
Oh,
I know.
No.
Brutal.
That is brutal, man. Nick Tremulous,
I'm really bummed
Nick
about
Tremulous
that
is a legend.
Daryl Jones, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I know.
The resume
I know.
On
I,
that.
Yeah, no. The thing about Daryl Jones is, for people who don't know, Daryl Jones is like he's got a jazz background. He's a bass player, and he's one of the greatest bass players on the planet.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. And if you don't know Nicholas Tremulous, then you don't live in Chicago and you don't follow music. But anyway, Daryl Jones, give some of the credits to Daryl Jones. It's some of the people that Daryl Jones has worked with.
Well, so he's from here, and his first gig out of Chicago Vocational, he took music all 4 years at Chicago Vocational High School here, and kind of credits that for preparing him for his first professional gig. I think it was 3 years later out of Chicago Vocational, touring with Miles Davis. That was his first professional gig. Can you even imagine?
Your first gig is to work with Miles Davis.
Can you in tour with Miles Davis?
What wow.
You know,
And you're a kid. You're just like out of school.
That's what I mean. Like, obviously, like, those jazz guys are notorious. God knows what he was seeing on the road with Miles Davis.
Oh,
but I'm sure it prepared him well for what he would see on the road with Keith Richards.
Right. Because he toured with the Stones.
He did. He's worked with them for 25 years now.
Yeah, wow, has it been that long?
It has.
I saw the only time I've ever seen this, I've only seen the Stones once.
Me too.
And it was on the Voodoo Lounge tour.
Okay.
And
Soldier Field?
Lenny Kravitz opened.
Okay.
And it was Voodoo Lounge, and he was playing bass with them on that.
So that was his first gig in Chicago with the Stones, was Soldier Field, and he's from here.
Yeah.
He told me a story about when he was a kid, his mom took him to see James Brown at Soldier Field. And so everyone else at that point, before the Stones, you talked about his resume.
Yeah.
He had toured with Peter Gabriel and Sting and Banana, and every time he'd come to Chicago, it was Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah.
So he's like, we would be around the city, but we'd never be in the city. So
right.
I joined the Stones and say to him, well, where are we at in Chicago? And they say Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And he's like,
there
that's
it
where
is.
I saw James Brown. That's the stomping ground.
Yeah, I saw him on Sting's tours.
Okay.
I saw him like five times on those tours. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe
for
you.
For Dream of the Blue Turtles.
No, I believe you.
For Dream of the Blue Turtles and for Nothing Like the Sun. And I saw them at Alpine Valley. I saw them at Poplar Creek.
Wow.
And I saw them at he played the UIC. Sting played the UIC.
Wow.
Yeah, which was weird. It was for the Nothing Like the Sun tour.
He did nothing but rave about being in that particular lineup for Sting. That was the first one post-Police, right?
Oh, yeah. The Dream of the Blue Turtles and Nothing Like the Sun. The musicians that he got in that band.
It was all jazz guys. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Branford Marsalis.
Omar Hakim was on drums. Mm-hmm. Just insane.
Yeah.
Just insane caliber of musicians.
Agreed.
And to see them on tour was amazing. Now, I don't, you know, you might not like the material, but watching those guys work on stage is pretty special. So he was cool then?
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's one of the, what I think my favorite part of the entire interview was I had interviewed Ivan Neville a while back, who's in Keith's band, The Expensive Winos.
Right.
And the compliment Ivan paid Keith during that interview was, he said, I've never met a bigger just general fan of music than Keith Richards.
Mm-hmm.
So in prepping for this interview, I had read an interview that Daryl had gave where he said he had never encountered a bigger music fan than Miles Davis.
Oh, okay.
So the way I put the question to him was, I said, I read this interview where you said this about Miles, and I've spoken to Ivan Neville, who said this about Keith. Do they share a similarity in that way? And he just went on and on about how the two of them love music, and being in a hotel room with Miles and this happened, and being in a hotel room with Keith Richards and he exposes you to this music. And
mm-hmm.
that was pretty fascinating discussion.
Yeah, boy, he's worked with a lot of greats. I mean, he's worked with a lot of greats, that guy.
It's quite a resume.
Yeah. I saw the expense sting. I saw the Expensive Winos at the Aragon. It was great.
That's one of the ones all time, if you know, we have a time machine capability.
That would give, I would suggest you do that. If you have a DeLorean, go back and see that show, because it was.
And there were the rumors in the last two or three years when Keith put out that latest solo album that I think it was right before the Stones did the 50th anniversary thing, because him and Mick were kind of on, you know, shaky ground.
Oh, really?
Keith's book.
yeah.
And there were the rumors that Keith was going to put the Expensive Winos back together and tour again. And I was like, come on.
Yeah. Well,
it didn't happen.
It was an amazing band.
Yeah.
I've only seen the Stones one time, but I did see Keith Richards then in that show.
I think Dan and I have a piece of audio.
Oh, we do.
That we'd like to play you.
Do we have a piece of audio? What is this? Can you set this up, Jim?
This is an artist I spoke to now earlier this week who's coming to town in April. He'll be performing at the House of Blues.
Okay.
And when I knew that it was coming on and I knew that I was going to have the opportunity to speak to this man, it only seemed right to pick his brain about Sting.
Oh.
so that I could play you some audio about how this man feels about Sting.
All right.
I guest on a radio show, and one of the most frequent topics is Sting. Me and the host, we go back and forth on Sting. One of us is a fan, one of us less so, but it's never mean-spirited at all. I would love to surprise the other half of this conversation with a Rick Astley soundbite on Sting, if you have any.
You mean Sting as in the Police?
Correct, yes.
All right, okay.
If you have an opinion on him at all, or a story about him, anything.
He's one of the greats, as far as I'm concerned. Sting is one of the greats. I mean, being in one of the best bands that's ever been on the planet is one thing, and then going off and having a solo career that he made some amazing records. So I'm definitely in the pro Sting camp, to be honest. He does a bit too much yoga for my liking, but I mean, other than that, genius. You know, he's one of the greats.
Sounds good.
Rick Astley, everybody. I thought I was going to get Rickrolled. What? That's pretty great, man.
So you and Rick are in the same camp, by the way.
Me and Rick Astley love Sting. That's amazing. What else? So how did you? What else did you talk about Rick Astley? Did you mention Rickrolled?
So that's that was an amazing conversation. He's got a pretty incredible outlook on that.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
He totally embraces it.
Yeah.
This is this tour he's doing. It's the first time he's performed in Chicago. This is what I led the interview with. I said, you correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I can tell, you have not played in the Chicagoland area since a gig in September of 1989 at the now-defunct Poplar Creek with Martika.
Oh, my God.
And he starts laughing. He's like, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And where is he playing?
House of Blues.
He's playing. Oh, you just said that. House of Blues in April.
Rick Astley. April 25th.
Rick Astley, Sting's number one fan.
Sting, and I guess you're number two fan.
Yeah, I would be number two because I'm not Rick Astley, man.
Well, so who is?
Few people are.
Correct.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. Thanks for bringing that in. That's pretty funny. All right, we got to take a break. Jim, hang on, okay? Jim Ryan is with us. When we come back, we're going to preview some real interesting schedule that they just announced for Ravinia this year. And that and more here on WGN. Follow Jim on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan, and you can check out his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And we got more coming up right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's going on? It is Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Here. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. Get them in. We'll play them later. We're going to talk about best live acts in music, and we got an aggravating SNL quiz coming up as well for this Tuesday morning. My guest right now is Jim Ryan. And you can read him on his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Let's welcome Jim back to the show. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Dick.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's talk about Ravinia. They've announced the schedule.
Yes, they have released it from embargo, finally, after many weeks of ballyhooed.
Yeah.
And as always, it's kind of an interesting lineup because you have the acts that are there every single year.
Yeah.
You have a couple interesting ones, and then a couple that are just downright bizarre.
Okay, well, let's hear some of them.
Starting in June, we've got, Los Lobos, they're there every year now. Diana Ross, every year. Loverboy and Survivor on Sunday, June 3rd. Dick, will you be there for that in Highland Park?
I've never seen Survivor. I've seen Loverboy.
Okay.
I saw Loverboy, went on a first date with a girl to see Loverboy at the UIC Pavilion. This was when Get Lucky was out, so it was...
Loverboy at UIC.
They were huge. And the opening band was Frankie and the Knockouts. Do you remember Frankie and the Knockouts?
What is Frankie and the Knockouts?
Frankie and the Knockouts had... They had one... They had a couple of reasonable hits. One was called Sweetheart.
Okay.
And that was sort of their go-to hit.
Wow.
Now, then what eventually happened was the guy, Frankie, ended up leaving the Knockouts and went on to become an Academy Award-winning songwriter. He wrote, I've had the time of my life.
For Patrick Swayze,
He wrote that for...
For
Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
So he wrote it and won an Oscar for it. So that's Frankie. And then I guess he did some Broadway stuff.
Was that Bill Medley, by the way, on that?
Yeah, Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's terrifying that I know it that quickly. But yeah, so that's Loverboy and Frankie and the Knockouts. And they were huge. Loverboy was huge at that time.
That's amazing.
It was 82. It was massive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Continuing through June, we've got Anita Baker.
Yeah.
This is one of the good ones to me. I'm actually surprised. At Ravinia, ZZ Top and John Fogerty.
Yeah, see, that's craziness right there. That's an awesome lineup.
That's a fun bill.
Yeah, that's a great bill.
And Billy Gibbons gave an interview last week where he said he sees no reason not to be out there playing guitar on Traveling Band every single night.
Wow. And he's got to be in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
late 60s.
Billy, I think Billy Gibbons is pushing 70.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because there's that crazy trivia question about ZZ Top, the longest running band in the history of rock without a lineup change.
Oh, yeah.
And it's ZZ Top.
That's true.
As Billy
Well, there's only three of them.
Same three guys.
I also love the fact that two guys have giant beards and another guy's name is Beard.
And he doesn't have the beard.
And he doesn't have the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Fogerty is a legend, obviously.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. All right, what else?
Now we're back into the artists who are there every year. Seal? Is that a favorite of yours, Nick?
I do like Seal, yes.
Okay.
I do, yeah.
So Seal.
Never seen him live.
Seal
but
and Sting. I just want to make sure I've got this correct. Seal and Sting.
Well, if you like Sting, you gotta like Seal. I think that just comes with the territory. They're one
well,
name. They're
solo.
One name artist,
sure.
with the S in the title.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. No, I like Seal. I think Seal. I think
Kiss from a Rose.
Kiss from a Rose, great song. I love that song.
Did you ever see this ran opposite the Bears Super Bowl? So what was that? Like 06 it, then?
Oh, the 07.
One.
Yeah.
07?
07, right? Dan, or was it 08?
I think it was. Against the Colts.
07. It was against the Colts. Or as one of my listeners' kids said, the Magnets.
So you
because
know how,
they look... The
oh,
Colts.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So what happened now?
You know how every competing network just airs something awful because they're going to lose the time slot, obviously. I think it was NBC aired the music of Seal on Ice.
And what?
It's on YouTube if you search this because the game was so bad that we would keep flipping over drunk and laughing at this.
Yeah.
At one point it was like Brian Boitano doing a triple axel while Seal is on the ice on a stage singing Kiss from a Rose as Brian Boitano is figure skating. It was amazing.
How is that? How do I not know about that?
I don't know, but it's on YouTube because it's one of my
favorite
things.
Well, I'll be looking it up. But speaking of, have you ever heard about Rick Wakeman?
Oh, yeah, I love that clip,
oh, yeah,
too.
That's the best. That's
Rick
the
Wakeman
best.
On ice.
He toured, for people who don't know, he had a concept album, Rick Wakeman, keyboard player for Yes, outrageous long hair, crazy robes.
Surrounded by 75 keyboards.
Yeah, and just, so he released a concept album about King Arthur, and he toured ice rinks with it, and had people like with fake horses on ice skating. It's on YouTube, and I highly recommend looking up some of that footage.
That's where I'm at on Seal and Brian.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. Trust me. All right, what else?
We got Roger Daltrey for two nights doing Tommy.
Oh boy,
and that should actually be pretty good. I saw him do that at the Horseshoe in Hammond a couple years ago.
Okay,
And his band is really solid. Simon Townsend, Pete's brother, fills in and does the Pete parts, and at this point he sounds better than Pete does. It's pretty solid. That should be good.
Okay, so that's him performing Tommy. All right.
Then Friday, June 29th, we have a man who's been mentioned several times here tonight.
Yeah.
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, keep the chairs away from Oaken.
The Ultimate Tour.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but he looks great in that picture, doesn't
he? Yeah, the Ultimate Tour.
Fantastic.
Are you going to be doing any cuts from Pretty Woman?
Hopefully, by calling it the Ultimate Tour, he'll be doing Summer of 69
with a full band this time.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we got?
We are moving into July. We've got Buddy Guy and Johnny Lang, Evanescence and Lindsey Stirling.
Oh, okay.
For the low, low price of $150 for a pavilion seat.
$150?
Ravinia is insane this season.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I don't go to a lot of shows.
I remember the first Ravinia show I went to was $10 for the lawn.
Oh, yeah. That's what I remember. Yeah, just you go to the lawn.
Singers.
It was really cheap. I saw Gordon Lightfoot there.
I saw Jethro Tull there.
Oh, Tull rules.
Which is the most Ravinia band ever.
Okay, a couple more.
We got...
What are you looking forward to?
Probably ZZ Top and John Fogerty, but one of the strange ones, they've got Whoopi Goldberg coming in.
For what?
I have no idea. Friday, August 3rd, Whoopi. 18 and over, by the way. So are we to take from that this is going to be adult material?
Oh,
of
it's Whoopi.
18 and
Whoopi,
over?
Whoopi can get spicy.
Can she?
I'm looking at July 29th.
Okay, what do we got July 29th? I just scrolled past that.
All right, July 29th.
Oh,
yeah.
A flock of seagulls, Wang Chung, Naked Eyes, Men Without Hats, Farrington and Mann, the vocalist of When in Rome, UK, Animotion, Dramarama. Gene Loves Jezebel? How are they getting all these
bands?
And
New Shoes.
What is this? New Shoes. Oh, my God.
So were they going to start at noon?
Yeah, I was just going to say. When are gates open for this?
See, now that to me, I'd go to that.
By the way, gates open at 3:30.
There you go, man.
It's like a festival.
Well, it's got to be. Who's going to headline? Flock of Seagulls?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I would have Wang
Flock
Chung.
Flock of Seagulls is getting the highest billing on
Wang
that.
Chung yeah. should headline.
That's incredible.
Yeah. All right. Jim, people can read you at the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night.
That's correct.
And you can be followed on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan.
Yes.
And we can see you doing traffic, right?
Every now and again, yeah.
Every
Channel
now and
5
again.
On the
Channel
weekend
5.
Sometimes.
All right.
Yeah,
cool.
All over the place.
All right, man. Always a pleasure to have you in, man.
Thank you, Nick.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. That's Jim Ryan, and we're going to take a break for the news right here on 720 WGN.